Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that the life that is within that word, that we have it on the inside of us. We thank you that our life is hidden in Christ, Lord, and that it is unveiled through your word. So we thank you as we walk out our life, Lord, that it benefits other people, Lord, which is what you've left us here to do. So we thank you for that. We thank you for your anointing in our lives, and we thank you for the many promises and blessings that you've given us. So we give you the glory and the honor. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you guide me in this that I'm doing this morning, that the people will hear from you and benefit from your word. We thank you and praise you and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, the title, if you need one, is Know Who You Are. Amen. How many people in this world don't know who they are now? We have a lot of people that are lost, don't we? We even have a lot of Christians that are lost that they don't know who they are. They're in the body of Christ, but they just don't know who they are. It's kind of like an estranged family member. You know, you get to a family reunion and somebody shows up and, who are you? Well, actually, we had that happen with Pastor Uellen's family. We had a kid we went to school with, and he was like a third cousin from Pastor Uellen. We never even knew it until we went to a family reunion. And it was hilarious. I told her, I said, only your family could do that. Amen. Heredity. Our heredity leads us, whether it's bad or whether it's good, right? And it can be changed, good or bad. We just need to know who we are to help change it, okay? And we're going to be talking about who we are in Christ today and who... Try to find out and get a close relationship with our Lord, okay? Because I know we're not where we could be as much as we spend time, but, you know, it's always an increasing thing, and he's always leading us and teaching us, and that's why he sent the Holy Spirit. And we know that if you know who you are, it's going to direct your actions that you take within your life. Whether you're a thief, you're going to steal something. If you're a liar, you're going to lie. But it directs us if we know who we are. So it's important that we know who we are. And the word is very clear on who we are. Amen? And it's us getting that alive on the inside. And like Pastor Bob has been sharing, and even Brother Dennis about that who we are and how it is to carry us and that we are led by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, and that is to direct us, and that is what is to give us our, the word I'm looking for, gives you your credibility that you operate in that Word, and when the decisions come that are hard to make, then you go back to that Word and you make the decision based upon the Word and based upon spending time with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, let's go to Joshua 1:7. We're going to get started with him, okay? We're going to see him in the Old Testament, and then we're going to see in the New Testament people that knew who they were in God. Joshua 1:7. And this is the Lord speaking to Joshua after Moses had went on. And he says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. Isn't that basically what Jesus told us in the Word? To keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments, we will walk in that. We will walk in the power and in the authority that he's given us, that we can walk in it. But we need to know that we have it. And I think we all get into situations sometime and we scratch our head and say, do I have the authority? Well, we need to know that he's given us all authority in heaven and earth, and it is ours, but we need to know how to use that authority. Authority taken in a bad way is not good. Of course, we've seen that lately in our government, haven't we? Not to get ugly, but we know that Joshua had served Moses the 40 years, and I'm sure that he paid attention to Moses and he learned from Moses. We know that he spent more than four. When Moses went up on the mountain and God was talking to him, Joshua stayed up on the mountain after Moses came back down. We don't know how long he stayed because it didn't tell us, but we do know he was up there 40 days and he wasn't in the presence of God. He was on the side of the mountain. So we know he was doing something. It's obvious he knew who he was. And likewise, we should also, okay? We should pursue ourselves in the Word. In other words, find out we have a fantastic heredity in the Lord. So we need to know that, all right? And it's only in the Word and by the Spirit of the Lord that we will be able to pursue ourselves and find out who we are. You know, we should pursue that every day, and we should increase every day in who we are. And it'll come, won't it? If we do it, if we pursue it, we can get it. But in all this, we see that the men of God and their issues, okay? We all have issues, don't we? They had issues too, right? There was only one that was perfect, and we know who he was. But they weren't walking in the dispensation that we walk in. We walk in a better dispensation, don't we? Do we want to go back to theirs? No, I don't. I don't think so. Amen. I have troubles. I think we all have troubles. And in the Word of God, it tells me that our dispensation is better than the last one, because ours is in mercy and grace, which that's what we want to be able to operate in. And ours we don't have to work for, okay? We don't have to. Ours was given freely to us by our Lord and Savior. It was given freely. So there's nothing that we can boast in, but we need to know and be very humble about that, that he did lay down his life. And I don't believe that, even if you watch the movies, I don't believe you see what he suffered. Amen. He learned to suffer his flesh, and you'd have to learn to suffer your flesh to give up your life for people that don't really like you, and they didn't, but yet he did. Amen. And it's so very important that we would get a hold of his heart, that we can get in a position that we can give up our lives for other people, which is what God's left us here to do. And in doing that, we can be blessed. Amen. Amen. Let's take a look at Genesis 12, 1 through 4. We're going to look at Abraham. Genesis 12, 1 through 4. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." He didn't do what God told him to do, did he? Because he let Lot tag along. He said, get away from him, and he let him tag along. So it's important that we can see that. See, he's made a mistake already, hadn't he? He didn't do exactly what he was told. But Abram's the one that God made the covenant with to bless all of us. Amen? And it is a good covenant. And our new covenant that Jesus came and brought us, it fulfills that covenant and completes that covenant. Not that that covenant is void, because we do know that what God had told Abram, we are in Christ, we are Abram's children or ancestors, aren't we? Did he follow the plan perfectly? No. You know, if you read the whole story of him, he lied to the king of Egypt about his wife because he was in fear. And if you read it, hey, he's human just like the rest of us is. But he went back to the covenant time, and God brought him back to the covenant. What we need to know and understand is God is a covenant-keeping God. Once he makes covenant with us, you might break it, but he'll never break it. And he'll always be there to fulfill that covenant for you. And when we get a hold of it and we line up with that, then we can walk in it and be blessed by it. Amen? No, he didn't follow his plan, but God was still with him, okay? And God is that covenant-keeping God, and we need to do. And it's no different, you know, the covenant is no different than a businessman laying out a contract for a job or something similar to that, that he knows that contract inside and out. He's probably written many of them, but then he knows how to operate within that contract and prosper himself, and it's no different than the covenant that God's given us. But it's getting that covenant, getting the Word of God on the inside of us that we can speak it out, and basically we prophesy over our own life. And you know, people, all the time we run into people and say, well, I feel stupid talking to myself. So feel stupid, but you need to talk to yourself. Amen? If it makes you, but you'll get over that. Okay, some people don't talk to other people. But we need to talk to ourselves, and we need to speak the Word of God over us and get our confessions down. Amen? He reads and studies that contract, and he knows it inside and out. It's alive in him, and of course he operates in it. Brother Terry says God is a good checker player. Amen? Remember him teaching us that? And I don't remember who he said taught him, because I was trying to figure it out last night. I didn't know if it was Brother Osteen or one of the others that he traveled with, but he said, you make your move, God will make his move. And God won't move until you make your next move. And that's what we need to do. We need to be ready for it. We need to be attentive to it. And we need to know that he's put everything in us when we were born again. He's deposited your whole life in him on the inside of us. And we need to work it out. The Bible tells us to work out our salvation. And it's important that we stay in that Word day and night, and it will get worked out, okay? Will we miss it every now and then? Yeah, probably. Probably more than that, okay? But God won't ever let you go, because he's got a place he wants you to get to. Amen? So we want to make sure we become a good checker player, all right? Let's take a look at Genesis 17:5. We're talking about, do we know who we are, okay? That's what this is all about. We need to know who we are, and we need to know who we are in Christ. That's where our life is. All right? This is God keeping covenant, because God knew Abram was running into some problems. He says, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Well, it's obvious Abram had not been making his confessions. So God changed his name. So whenever he introduced himself, he was making his confession. He was telling everybody, I am a father of many nations. Amen. Can we throw that picture up, Tim, real quick? All right, I'm going to give you a picture. All right. That's where my heredity is in the natural right there. That's my mom and dad. Okay. And my heredity in the natural is from them. But I've received heredity that supersedes that, that takes me further than what they could ever take me. They were good parents, and they raised me pretty good. I didn't always do what I was supposed to, but, you know, I don't believe that any of us did, but anyhow. So we need to know that our heredity is in Christ, and that we are ancestors of Abraham, and we need to know who we are and what our characteristics are. Amen? I couldn't change my natural heredity. See, because my heredity, when I was at the age of making the decisions, I went to the, can we say the dark side and not offend anybody? I went to the dark side, just like Paul talked about in Romans, okay, that he died and sin became alive. But then I, and you know what's crazy? Me and Pastor Ellen had been going to church. And if we'd had died, we would have been in hell, because we weren't saved. And we were in a church, and it was a denominational church, and I won't name the name, but nonetheless. And you know, you make the Apostles' Creed, but nobody teaches you about the Apostles' Creed. That is your confession into heaven to receive Jesus. And we didn't know it. And we didn't know it until, and actually I was on the board in that church, which is really crazy. And I was too young for all the, excuse the term, older people. I'm up there now, but for the older people that were in the church. And I think they didn't really appreciate me getting in there with the pastor, but nonetheless, after he was gone, we were gone. And we didn't start going back to church, and we were watching TV, and of course, Brother Copeland come on, and he still doesn't have real good English, but that's kind of what caught me, okay? He wasn't all the fancy lingo that a lot of the pastors have and use, or the language, but he was just talking like I talked. He might have used an ain't, but nonetheless, me and Pastor Young squatted down in front of the TV that day, and we made Jesus our Lord. So, and then we had to find a church. And you know what? We found one, and we haven't left. Amen? Amen. In my natural heredity, I was 40 years, no, in my spiritual heredity, we're 40 plus years old now. So we've changed our heredity, and we do kid about our families, each other, but nonetheless, we know that's not our heredity. Amen. It went from death to life in a split second. We know that's how that works. Amen. Isaac worked in the same covenant. Was he perfect? No. He done the same thing his dad did. Told the king that wasn't his wife. Okay? But God is a covenant-keeping God, and he walked them through it. And God's persistent enough, if you'll stick with him, he'll get you to where he wants you to be.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Amen. Most of the prophets, they knew who they were. Elijah, he knew who he was until Jezebel threatened him. And then he had a terrible identity theft took place. But nonetheless, he knew who he was. You don't kill 850 prophets by yourself. And that might have been what led him to where he thought he was okay on his own, but he wasn't. Amen. And we need to know that also. We need to know that we can't do it on our own. God doesn't expect us to. He doesn't expect us to. We're co-workers. Co-workers with him. Amen. We can never forget who we are in God's eyes. And I know we all get up and go our day-to-day schedule, but we need to remember that. Because God, what he paid for each and every one of us, we can never return to him. We just can't give it back to him. We can give our lives back to him. And that's what he asks us to do. And if we'll be honest with ourselves, that's what we probably should do. And I understand, again, you get caught up in work, business, and whatever we do. And if we'll keep him first and foremost, he'll lead us through each and everything that we encounter. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to Matthew 13, 44 and 45. Matthew 13, 44 and 45. This is where we find out, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it, goes and he sells all that he has and buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And he went and gave all he had to buy that pearl so he could purchase that pearl. And that is what God done for us. He sent the best he had. He sent his own son, and people still get confused about that. They still think he came as God, and he did not. He gave up his deity, and he walked the earth as a man, filled with the Holy Ghost. I say when he was 30 years old, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, he was born of the Spirit of God to start with, but people don't catch that and comprehend that. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fair for God to ask us to walk according to his word and according to his spirit. But Jesus gave up his deity and he walked as a man. Just like you and me, flesh and blood. He dealt with issues. He dealt with people You know, people beat him up with their words. When it come right down to the end there, that pretty much everybody there hated him. And, you know, he suffered that death for us. And we need to be very, very thankful for that. And this is something that if we don't meditate on these things and let the Holy Ghost show us the value that God has for us, we won't know. You won't know how much value He has for you. We cannot mentally, you cannot comprehend that. Nobody can comprehend that. And I know when we share it with people, they have problems because they're doing it in the mental capacity. And you need to open up your heart and let God show you in your heart, in your spirit. And that's just the way that is. That's why we're left here, so that we can be a witness. We can be the light. We can be the salt. So that we can minister life to these people. And when Jesus shared this, He shared what our value was to Father God. So can we imagine what value Jesus was to Father God? That He would come and pay for all of us. Amen? That we didn't have to live the rest of our eternity in hell. Amen? Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:12. Rob, you need to tell me if I got a hanky hanging on my face. Okay, so I don't know why I'm sweating so bad this morning, but it says, For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you the opportunity to boast on our behalf. And that's not the scripture I was looking for. I'm sorry. What did I say? 12? I apologize. I needed 2 Corinthians 5:12. That's it, ain't it? Okay. That's not the one I'm looking for. Anyhow. Anyhow. It's the scripture, and they might be able to find it back there before I get done. It's the scripture that talks about us being a new creation. Okay? We are a new creation in Christ. Okay? And it's no different when someone's born into the natural, that the parents tend to them, takes care of them, teaches them, trains them to operate in their life. And it's the same in our spiritual life, that you need to get someplace to get trained, that people will love you and take care of you and keep you going in the right direction. And anybody that has children, if you will be a loving parent, you need to get them in church someplace that teaches them the word. I know back in the nursery, they teach the kids when they're, as soon as they go in there, whether they're 6 months or 8 months or whatever, they teach them. Thanks, guys. They show them pictures of Jesus, and then they flip it, and there's a mirror on the other side. And they're starting at a young, young age learning about Jesus. And then I know, if any of you know Pastor Helen, you know she teaches them in there everything they need to know. They get taught just like we do in here. But if you do not take your children to church and do not get them someplace that they can hear the Word of God, you are doing them an injustice. They need to know at a young age. I don't care if they get a master's degree in whatever, it's not going to take them where the knowledge of knowing Jesus will take them. Amen? And it's so important that we do that for our children. But we are a new creation. And again, it is that we get trained just like we do in the natural. And we need to operate and know how to operate in this kingdom, which is a kingdom that we can't see. So we need to be taught how to operate in this kingdom. I can't see it right now unless I get it on the inside of me. But if we can get taught and trained on how to operate in this kingdom, it will take care of the natural kingdom. Amen? And it's very important that we do that. that we get trained in how to be led by the Holy Ghost. People that don't get filled with the Holy Spirit and learn to hear from the Holy Ghost, they're at a disadvantage in this world. We need to know that. Too many times, and you know what, I've shared this story about Pastor Yuen when she was going to Fort Myers, and her grandma let her take, we had a little Pinto at that time, which, yeah, a little car. Nonetheless, Nanny had her take her big Mercury, but she pulled up behind this semi down in Fort Myers there, right by the Shell factory, and a voice told her, move over into the other lane. She said, I didn't know where it came from. She said, she just pulled over in the other lane, and it wasn't about 20 seconds, and another semi plowed into the back of that semi, and she wouldn't be here today. And that's just one instance when she wasn't even saved at that time, but the Holy Ghost still talks to people. If they will hear and listen, he'll be talking. He's always talking. We just need to listen and hear and know his voice. But it's knowing that we're a new creation, and we need to know how this new creation acts, and we need to know the value of this new creation on the inside of us, and it's important. You know, people can make money, and that's fine, okay? We need money to further the gospel, but that's not someone's life. Our life is to live the life that God's given us and to be able to help and share with people and let our lives be an example. It can be a light in the community. It can be light with the friends. All my neighbors know where I'm at, okay? Because they come out and walk, and I pet their dogs, and then I start talking to them about the Word. It's just what we do. Amen? If you get it alive on the inside of you, it's no different than getting excited about, sorry, ladies, I'm going to use you all, about sales. I don't even know if they do them anymore in the stores, but you all share about, well, they're having a good sale at Penny's or Dillard's or wherever. But the word gets around quick because it's something that they think you want to hear. But, and you know what? Everybody, I don't know if they want to hear it, but they're going to hear it from me anyhow, okay? It's just something that's alive on the inside of me. And it's the fact that you love people and you want them to do better. You want them to be blessed, you know? We had the one lady walks her dog down the sidewalk, and I always go out and pet the dog and talk to the dog. And she was limping the one day, and I asked her, and she said, well, it was her bursitis was acting up. And I just shared with her what the Bible says about, you know, the Bible says if a believer lays hands on you, you'll be healed. She said, okay. So I laid hands on her, and she's a Christian. But I laid hands on her, and you know, and I didn't see her for about two or three months, and she's walking back down, and I was coming out the door, and she hollered at me. She says, hey, come here. So I walked in there, and she says, you know, I went back to the doctor, and he checked out my bursitis, and he said, you don't have bursitis anymore. It was gone. But, I mean, and had I not stopped and given the time to talk to her, not that I wouldn't to any other neighbor, it's just, you know, when you see things, it just comes up on the inside of you because that's what's alive on the inside of you. Amen? So it's important that we know that we're here for a purpose. All right? We need to know that we are the Word. Amen? We're the body of Christ. Jesus was the Word, wasn't he? Made flesh. And we are his body. And as it talks about in Acts, that he's left us here, like Luke said, he's left us here to take care of the business and finish what he started. And that's what we need to do because we're getting close to the end. How many of you know we're getting close to the end? We're going to, after today, we're going to be another day closer, aren't we? Amen. You know, our life shouldn't just be, it's not just Bible stories. It is the Word of God, okay? And I don't necessarily like the Bible stories. It's, how about we just say it's the truth, okay? And let the people know it's the truth. But we apply it. We need to be taught. We do know we're different, don't we? People think we're really different. Now, what are they calling us now? The Christian, I forget what it was. Me and Pastor Bob were talking about the other day. But we think our rights are from God and not from the government, which that's exactly what the Bible says, right? So, yes, we are then. And there again, us getting born again is no different than somebody coming into our country from a different country. Pastor Nid could share that with you. You come here, you don't have the same laws, you don't have the same traditions, you don't have the same everything, and you need to learn the new way of life here. And it's important that we know that, and we need to know we've got a new DNA in us. Amen? We've got a God DNA in us. And people go back, and they'll go back, you know, well, my dad had this, and my dad... You're new now, okay? You're new. You're a brand new person. I don't think it's the lights. I think it's me, but nonetheless... What's that? I don't know what it was, Pastor Ned. I got up this morning and I was like this. Just feel like a jitterbug on the inside. I don't know why. Hallelujah. I was hoping it was the anointing, and I'm... So anyhow, we need to learn to live this new life. Amen. Let's take a look at Romans 8:17. Since I messed up the first one, maybe we can get this one right. Romans 8:17. It talked about, and it says, and if children, then heirs, talking about Abraham, okay, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Okay? He's not asking you to get nailed to the cross. He's asking you to suffer your flesh just like Jesus suffered his flesh. Amen? We are the children of God. Then we should know about our heritage and how one is to live this life. Okay? What are the Irish doing today? Celebrating St. Paddy's Day, right? Green jackets, green beer, and whatever else they get. Okay? But no, that would be their heritage. Okay? And that's what they're living on. But that's not our heritage anymore. Okay? We should live our new life. We should go all the way, walk all in that God has for us. And you know, we meet Christians all the time on the street, and they're saved, but they're just not, they didn't, they come into the country, they just didn't learn how to live in the country. Amen? And it's so sad when you see them, because the devil will beat them up. Basically, when they get saved, there's a big bullseye on their back, and that's what the devil's shooting for. And people need to teach them and train them so that they can learn how to combat the enemy. And it's important that we do. Amen? We need to know how to live this new life. And we need to know where God has placed us. And, you know, we are a superhuman being. When you make Jesus your Lord, you are a superhuman being. You are recreated. And you have the Spirit of God deposited in you, and that makes you supernatural. Yeah. Amen? We have the super and we have the natural, and it's learning to walk in that and take on that new life that we have. Amen?
Yes.
I guess it could kind of be like a marriage covenant, couldn't it? Because they would have to take on each other's lives. Hopefully they do it agreeably. Amen. But nonetheless, there again, we need to become a good checker player, don't we? Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We need to know this, and we need to know that heaven is there to back us up. Amen. And that's knowing that you've got to have the confidence in who's living on the inside of you. Otherwise, you know, the world will talk, news media will talk, and they'll try and shove stuff down your throat and make you think that you're not who you are. And that's why it's so important that we stay in the Word, stay in our confession, so that we know who we are. That they don't tell us who we are. We tell them who we are. Amen? And heaven is there to back, to share the gospel and to know who you are and to get the revelation of it. And that's the key, getting it on the inside. To knowing that you are supernatural, you are in the body of Christ, that you are who God said you are. Amen? And it's important to know that. And it's not going to just come from reading. It's going to come from spending time with the Holy Ghost and meditating so that He can deposit that in you. Amen? Amen. Is anybody in here like meeting new people? Yes. I love meeting new people. They probably don't like seeing me because I talk too much, but I just like meeting them and talking to them, finding out where they're from, and you know. And of course, it'll lead to talking about the Lord, so that might be the part they don't like, but they shouldn't have said hi, should they? James 1. 23 through 25. James 1, 23 through 25. He says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does." Remember I talked to you about your heredity will dictate what you do, okay? That's what we need to do. We need to keep our face in that mirror until we know who we are, because that does happen, don't it? That happened to anybody in the last week. It happened to me. We need to know who we are. You get into situations and the devil knows, he knows, and he's wanting to throw stuff at you that will make you drop the ball. And we need to back up and just hang on to the ball. Okay? But we need to keep our face in that mirror, and that word will tell us who we are. It will tell us our value that God's placed on us so that we can walk out the plan He's got for us. The DNA that He's dropped on the inside of you, it's all that you would ever need. It is your complete life dropped and deposited. And as we work out our salvation, then it comes up by way of the Word and by way of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And we know why He doesn't give it all to you at one time and show it to you all at one time, because you'd panic. You would panic. You wouldn't be able to handle it. He's got plans for us that... And we had a pastor from Russia come in, or from the Ukraine, and he said that the cemetery has more unfulfilled promises than any place, because the people died and they didn't fulfill the promises that God had them. They're all dead in the cemetery. And that kind of just, it stuck with a lot of us here at the church, but that's the truth. What He's dropped in us, it's hard for us sometimes to comprehend between our ears, and that's the importance of praying in the Holy Ghost and staying in the Word and meditating on the Word of God. Amen? It is important that we do that. So we want to keep our eyes on the Word and keep it before us. It is the unseen, but we can keep it before us, can't we? Amen? Looking into that mirror, which is the Word, so we don't forget who we are in Him. Keeping our eyes on the unseen, and then we will see who we are in Him. Amen? And that's the importance of it, knowing the value that God's placed on you and knowing what He's given you to operate and work with in this world and in the kingdom. Amen? We know faith is the monetary system in our kingdom. It's not money like in the world. It's faith. And that can produce money. It can produce anything we need. It can produce the healing. It can produce everything that the world can't produce. Amen? That's why it's so important, and that's why we need to be trained in it when people come in. And there again, I'm so glad that we got into the church we got into and the pastors that we had. So, Let's take a look at Philippians 1:6, and I'll give you a couple other scriptures, and then we can. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay? That can happen if we don't quit. We can trip, we can stumble, we can get back up as long as we keep heading for that. That will happen. God will make sure that happens because of his covenant with us. But we need to know that. And when we fall down, we need to pick ourselves up, shake it off, ask him for forgiveness or repent if it went to that far, and then keep on going. And he'll bring us right back up. He'll pick you right back up and get you right back on the same path. But it's important that we do that and know that. And it says, be confident in this very thing. So we need to know that and have that alive on the inside. That he's begun the good work. When did he begin it? When we got born again. And he will complete it, but it's up to us. There again, we need to be a good checker player, don't we? We need to do what he tells us, and then he'll do what he said. And it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and he produces just what he said there. He'll complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, when he comes back. I would like to be ready when he comes back. How about you all? I'm working on it fast and furious because it's getting closer. Let's look at one more scripture. Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 10. Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 10. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which were offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. But that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Amen. We got one more. Did I read it? Is 10 up there? Okay, it's up there. Okay. Well, we see that he didn't take pleasure in those offerings, but he did take pleasure in us doing Jesus doing his will. And that's what he takes pleasure in us, and we know that's what it takes to please God. Amen. And knowing who you are, and knowing what heritage you have, that will enable you to do what he's asked us to do. That we can please him by doing his will. And his will is just, he's made it plain. It's like I said about the contract. It's his word. That's his will. As long as we do his word, we're good. Amen? We're good. We do our move and he'll do his move. Hallelujah. Write one other scripture down. I had one other scripture. You guys can play with it later. Romans 7:18. Romans 7:18. All right. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you seated it deep inside us. And we thank you that it will produce in our lives. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've given us, done for us, that you gave your whole life for us. And we praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name. If you're on live,